Welcome to another episode of the award-nominated motorsports show, Pit Lane Parley. Like the show, leave a rating, retweet our show post, or don't. Want to chat racing more? Ask us to join the PLP Twitter group.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. We are going to do a little Formula One news. We'll talk Long Beach and get ready for this weekend. Sarah is at the track, so we'll have a second episode this week, kind of be whatever media bullpen or whatever she does this weekend. So if you're there, say hi to Sarah. And I will not be having a repeat of screaming at an Uber driver this year because I decided I had no interest in going. And I don't know. I guess we can start with trivia. I'll sound my bugle to get ready for our trivia question. Trivia question is simple, and this is IndyCar related. Can you name every team Joseph Newgarden has raced for since his maiden year in GP3 in 2010?
Wow, so you're talking about not even just an Indy car. You're talking about
just as he had 1 year in GP3 and then 1 year in Indy Lights and then Indy car.
Okay. I'm going to come back to whoever you raced for in GP3 because I don't remember. But in Indy Lights, he raced for Sam Schmidt.
Okay.
Won the championship in what, 2011?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then he moved to, and these names are going to be frustrating, Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing.
Okay, yep, we have 3 years there.
So that's three. Okay, 2012, 13, and 14. And then I guess Ed Carpenter came on, so it was like Carpenter Fisher Hartman Racing, right?
Carpenter Fisher Hartman Racing, yep.
Or whatever, yeah. I don't remember the exact name.
Yeah, no, you got it. It says CFH Racing on here, so I was just sounding it out to look at it.
Well, and then he had at least 1 year where it was just Carpenter, like the Fisher Hartman part left.
Yep.
And then did he move straight from Carpenter to Penske? Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of who he raced for in GP3. I don't even remember how he did in GP3.
He had one pole and 8 points total, 18th in standings.
Wow, really?
Correct.
Then he must have been with a bad team, no?
I can't tell you that.
Otherwise,
it would ruin trivia.
Oh.
Nice try, though.
Was he teammates with Connor? No, don't tell me that. I think
I'm still not telling you. Also, I don't know.
No, he wasn't teammates with Connor. They switched or something, right?
I don't know.
There was something about that. I don't remember. They were both over there at some point. I can't remember what it was. All right. I'm just going to guess a team because I have no idea who he would have been with. Let's go with Carlin.
Carlin it is.
Yes. Okay. I knew it had to be someone like that.
There is one team you're missing from 2010 to present day.
That he's been with?
Mm-hmm.
What? 2010 to present day? I said Sam Schmidt in 2011. Mm-hmm. Then it was Sarah Fisher Hartman. Then it was CFH.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Ed Carpenter.
Then it was Penske.
And then Penske.
Yep.
He has someone up. So he has another team that he's been with?
Yeah.
In IndyCar?
I can't tell you.
Oh, in any series. That's what you're trying to trick me with. What has he done that's not been IndyCar related? I can't even think now. I can't even remember now if he did the Rolex.
I'm trying to like give you no facial expression so I don't give you a hint.
I cannot think of what else he did. And it's probably like the most recent thing is what I'm forgetting, isn't it?
Yep, it was Tower
That's
Motorsports
what I was going to say was
at
Tower,
the
but because I remembered Scott McLaughlin did it at Sebring, but I was like, did he do it at Rolex?
Rolex. I mean, to be fair, April was, or April, January was like 7 months ago. So, anyway, how was your Passover week? Does Passover extend past Wednesday, last Wednesday, or was it just last Wednesday?
No, so I mean, I'm a
How does that work?
very non-observant
Yeah.
Jewish person. And yeah, because my dad's Catholic anyway, so I have that split household thing going on. But Passover is 8 days, or not 8 days, I'm sorry. Passover is a week long, basically.
Okay.
So you are supposed to not eat anything with leavening in it for 8 days, and you eat matzah. But the first night of Passover is the Seder, which is, and no one needs a lecture on how Passover is celebrated. So I'll just
Yeah,
say that
that's fair.
it was good. The Seder is always kind of interesting. I mean, my fiance's family invited like all my grandparents over, and so there was this big kind of mixing of families for the Seder this year, at least on my mom's side. So that was pretty cool to have a little bit of that before we get married in March.
Nice. So let me paint a picture of how my weekend started off, kind of going Wittershins instead of in the right direction. So Thursday night, my brother and sister-in-law and my nephew got in like after I was asleep. But I heard the baby crying in the other room. And that's, I whatever. I don't care. But like 1:30 in the morning, I hear Daniel like rustling in the crate. And that's when he decides, I guess he was sick and he pooped everywhere in the crate. Everywhere in the crate. So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, it's dark, and now I have to figure out how to carry poop covered dog crate pad downstairs, get the dog downstairs to get him like outside and cleaned up and if he needs to go to the bathroom again, while also getting dressed, also while trying not to wake up a 11-month-old baby at the same time. So fast forwarding out how like I didn't go back to sleep until like 5:15 that morning because the dog was sick and I was literally watching TikToks in the dark outside in the front lawn, just like killing time while the dog did his business or slept and I waited. And so yeah, Friday was very rough because nobody slept. And my brother came downstairs and he's like, "Hey, I hope the baby didn't keep you up last night." And I was like, "No, not really. Did I wake you guys up last night?" He's like, "No, why?" I'm like, "Okay, good." So I managed to not wake anybody up despite, having to sprint downstairs with poop covered stuff and I poop on my gym shorts. And it was just like total chaos. I was a mess all Friday. I slept for maybe, God, I don't know, 2 hours at the most Thursday night. And then, like, had to handle an infant and family in town and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was really fun.
Good thing there was no racing last weekend then.
Yeah, thank God. So let's do F1 first because there's like not much to talk about.
Yeah, Daniel
And
pooping is more interesting
Daniel pooping is more interesting
the news this week.
than the news this week. And I'm, not even kidding. But I will say I did have a great apple pie this weekend when I was out to dinner. Actually, it might have been Friday night. Anyway, let's talk F1.
You gonna say where so people can go get the same pie or?
No, I don't want anybody to know where I eat dinner in Pennsylvania because I don't want Cody
You think
to
you're gonna
like,
get stalkers?
I think Cody's gonna, or like, yeah, Cody or Mr. McCoy are just gonna like show up at the restaurant and just be like, "Hi, I'm waiting for you." So,
But that's better than someone you don't even know. Like,
is it?
I would think so. Like, at least you would recognize them and you
Yeah.
could hang out with them if it's just a stranger that's kind of lurking.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, what do you
Also,
got?
like, Cody has kids. He's not driving out to Pennsylvania to stalk you.
C C Cody, if he had a chance to get away for a day, is getting away for a day. And I'm not even saying that to be mean to Cody. Cody has, I understand having three kids wanting to get away for a day, because I just spent a couple hours with my friend Ryan's kids. And once one started having a meltdown, it seemed like a lot of work.
Okay, I just got an email that actually is relevant to the podcast. And the only reason I opened it is because it says urgent in capital letters.
Ooh.
The email is from Grid Rival, and it says login with Facebook has been eliminated, resolution enclosed. And if you're like me, and a lot of the time you don't feel like creating a new login, you just use Facebook because you don't care about Facebook, and just like if the password's compromised, whatever, you know, I just don't go on there. Then it looks like you're going to have to change your login.
I use login with my Apple ID.
That's what I'm going to have to. No, I can't. I'm going to have to use the same account. Otherwise, my score is gone. And I'm like up into 12th or something right now.
Yeah, you are. You're 12th.
I don't know how that happened. It must have had a really good race in Australia, basically. Because I thought I was after the first two races, I was really low down there. I thought we were talking about it was the end of my season already.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let's get into the F1 news real quick before we kind of find something else to sidetrack us. I just want to bring this up real quick about the whatever they're saying they're going to do about the F1 sprint races. We don't know what they're going to do. It's been suggested a few different things. Max Verstappen says he's going to quit over the new format because, I'm going to read you his quote. He said, even if you change the format, I don't find that it is in the DNA of F1 to do these kind of sprint races. I hope there won't be too many changes. Otherwise, I won't be around for too long. I'm not a fan of it at all. When we do all that kind of stuff, the weekend becomes very intense, and we already do a lot of races. We're heading into seasons where we could have 24 or 25 races, and if you start adding more, it is not worth it for me. I will not enjoy that. So I guess Verstappen would just, he doesn't enjoy winning too much. Like, there's a limit to how much he wants to win. You know, it gets too tiring to just destroy everyone every weekend.
So I actually agree with him on this at some point.
I do too. I'm just making fun of him.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just think that all of these changes, you know, whether it's the potential changes for the sprint race in a couple weeks or, you know, whatever, at some point, like I read this article today. No, I'm sorry. I saw it on TikTok, how NASCAR almost feels scripted at points with the way, you know, cautions go and overtimes go and you know, whatever else NASCAR is doing. And F1 is kind of headed in that direction. And if you're Max Verstappen, like, yeah, you love winning. You know, you are right now the most dominant driver in the most dominant car. You can win. You're probably going to win this championship probably next year too. And then, you know, 20 and probably the year after, and then 2026, who knows? So you've got a couple years ahead of you, but at some point, you're like, listen, this is all contrived. I want to go racing. You know, he'll probably do, you know, WEC racing or something overseas, because I don't think he's a fan of ovals. But yeah, I mean, why would you stay if you're not enjoying the racing? I don't blame him at all. It is kind of contrived, or could be contrived.
I mean, I'm with you on that. I think he's probably very unlikely to quit, but this is just his way of telling F1. You need a name like me. I mean, I unfortunately think that F1 needs him more than he needs F1. He could go do whatever the heck he wants, and he's probably made enough money through whatever his last contract was with Red Bull that he could walk away and be happy for the rest of his life. And he's already a two-time world champion. I mean, what more does he need to prove?
Right.
But just, he's somebody who I think I do have to respect for being all about racing. I make fun of him a lot for being a robot and for having no emotions and all that kind of thing. And it's fun to joke around about that, but he's extremely dedicated to racing and all the time he spends in the sim. And I mean, it's been definitely, I don't want to say beaten into his skull, because that's probably a little too close to home for his relationship with his father. And I'm not joking. It's really sad what's kind of coming out that I think is going to happen in that documentary that I've seen clips from now, but about him like getting left at a gas station and all that, and how how he felt when Yas went to prison. Anyway, I've just seen clips of it on TikTok. It looks really kind of, I have a little bit more respect for Max, I think.
Okay.
But I will say, he just doesn't want them to keep manipulating the sport.
Yep.
There's a level to which he'll accept the racing being taken, not out of his hands, but out of the tradition of F1, to where he just doesn't feel the need to compete anymore. And maybe some of the other drivers don't care, but I have a feeling that probably most of them would be on his side about it, that they don't want to see the FIA turn it into a complete circus.
Yeah, agreed. Let's move on.
Okay. I'm just going to say that people need to spend time. I mean, and obviously we spend an inordinate amount of our daily lives focused on racing, covering racing. So I'm not trying to insult anyone who, you know, thinks about racing, talks about racing all the time. But let me just say that there is a petition that has, I guess, gained about 80,000 signatures demanding that the result of the 2021 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix be changed.
Oh, get over yourselves.
There are so many other things I think that people could put this energy into that would be more productive, useful. You know, this is a sport and it's a hobby. It's something fun to pay attention to. But if it starts to take over your life and you're signing a petition about it because you're unhappy about a result, you know, you can be unhappy about the result, but I think at this point, we're not going to see a change. So still devoting this much energy into being frustrated or just kind of harping on it is not worth anyone's time. And I probably just angered some people who feel that way. I'm not trying to discount the way that they feel about 2021 because we know what happened, but there's a point where you just have to move on. And I think that time has already come and gone a long time ago.
You know, first off, yes, 100%. I was tired of this situation a year ago, and I don't understand why we're still like it's not going to change. The way it played out sucked. I agree, but it is what it is. Get over yourself and move on. I am also referring to certain people in my personal life who seem to stalk my personal life, and Max Verstappen fans and Lewis Hamilton fans who just can't let go of the past. Now that I've thrown multiple people under the bus in the first 20 minutes of this episode, what's next?
I think even Lewis Hamilton is...
He's
probably,
over.
Yeah,
to a degree. I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's like, that sucked, that really hurt. And he'll probably look back on it with some disdain. But he also knows, like, I still have a career in racing and I still need to, like, you know, I still need to focus on the task ahead of me.
Here's what I liken it to. Obviously, everyone, I mean, even if you weren't alive, you probably know if you're an F1 fan about Alan Prost and Ayrton Senna's really controversial collisions in 1989 and 1990. Ayrton Senna was not happy, and I think he threatened to leave the sport multiple times after 1989 when essentially he lost that championship because he went out at Suzuka.
Yeah.
In a collision with Alan Prost. I think that's the exact same situation that Lewis Hamilton was in. But then Senna went on to win the 90 and 91. Well, he won 90.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
By crashing back into Alan Frost, but anyway, he moved on, right? He continued with his life.
Right.
And I don't think people signing a petition for the results of that championship race or that championship season to be changed does anything for him or does anything for a professional athlete, because they're about moving forward and improving rather than kind of focusing on the past. And I think if he focuses on the past too much, we're going to see him retire. So if we keep rubbing it in and just kind of reminding him of that constantly, instead of focusing on getting the team back to where it wants to be so we can have future success, it's just going to burn him out. That's my theory, at least. And so I don't think what his diehard fans are doing is actually productive.
That's fair. I agree.
Okay. Now that the psychological rant is over, let's talk about Alpine potentially working their way towards the front.
I don't believe it, but continue.
So they, I guess, have some upgrades coming that they're going to introduce at Baku and Imola. And I think it's a two-part.
Yeah,
so I don't know when they're going to release.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're just going to introduce one part at one of those races and the next, you know. But however it's going to happen is, apparently their development plan is worth 6/10 according to their wind tunnel data. So 6/10 would bring them... how close would that bring them? Would that bring them up to... I think it would bring them right to where Mercedes, Aston Martin, and Ferrari are behind Red Bull.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that they wouldn't be this bullish and give an exact number of how many tenths they're seeing if it's not actually true, because you can't set that specific level of expectations for your team or your company investors and then not follow through on it unless they've made some kind of mistake. So what I think is, they're seeing something. And the only thing I worry about is that obviously the other teams are going to make more progress, right? I mean,
right.
So they may not result to what they think it will.
I think it's two things. I think, like, yes, that's a good point. That's not actually what I was going to say. But, you know, it's a cornucopia of things, really. It's, you know, it could be exactly what you said. It could be, you know, okay, so they say it's 6/10 gain, but really, once you're out on track in a competitive situation, it's like 4/10. Not to say that 4/10 isn't insignificant, but you're still a little bit behind. And then you're a little bit behind and Mercedes gets better and Aston gets a little better and Ferrari keeps tumbling down and Red Bull gets better and it doesn't change all that much. So you might gain a little bit. I mean, I hope they do, because they've been kind of dreadful so far.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that the thing that everyone was worried about, aka their two drivers who were previously and may or may not still be mortal enemies crashing into each other, happened in Australia. And if that continues to happen and the atmosphere gets really contentious, it's going to be juicy for everyone to watch, but it's not going to be pleasant for anyone in that team.
Yep.
So you never know. That could also be a problem of those two guys racing with each other and neither one being willing to give an inch.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, I'm also... The news is just really... We were talking about this before we started on air. It's just really clickbaity this week, like worse than usual.
So let's...
For F1 stuff.
Yeah, I think we've spent enough time on F1
this week. I have
one
thing left.
Okay.
Because this one thing, I'm not even going to bother with this other thing that I pulled up because it's so bad. The last one is just that we're hearing, and this is kind of rumory, I guess, it's definitely unsubstantiated, that the Belgian Grand Prix at Spa is closer to remaining on the schedule. The deal was set to expire at the end of this season, and it was unknown if it was going to return in the future, and that would obviously be a huge problem for a lot of people who view it as a classic track and one of the best tracks in the world. I mean, it's still kind of tainted, I guess, its image by what happened in, what was that, 2021 or 2022? 2021, right?
The Rainier?
Yeah.
I think that was, wasn't, no, it was 2021. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a huge kind of stain on their reputation of the track and the organization there, and would be enough, I think, to put it in doubt of whether it should be renewed. But apparently a delegation from F1 visited the track, and the Belgian GP organizers are now confident that they're going to reach an extended deal. So
good.
I don't think it's going to end up being replaced, which is good, because honestly, I worry that we would see some kind of a, I don't know, Mickey Mouse track in the Middle East pop up in place of Spa.
Yep.
And I'd rather not see that.
Agreed. So we have Long Beach. I'm trying to pull up Long Beach times for the weekend. I'll pull.
Oh, I have that.
Okay. So we'll Long Beach is the same track as always. It's usually a solid race. I don't think it's like, I think it's a, like, you know, a crown jewel weekend because there's LA and celebrities and everything famous. It's definitely not my, it's definitely like, as far as on-track racing for IndyCar, not my favorite race, if I'm being honest. But also, there's some awesome racing this weekend. So, you know, IMSA is there too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Porsche Cup is there.
Yep, and then Porsche Carrera Cup and Stadium Super Trucks.
Stadium Super Trucks. And then WEC is racing at Portimao this weekend. Most of that race is on Motor Trend Online, and I think all of it is on FIAWEC.tv. I don't really know when the race is. I just know it's this weekend.
I could try and find that too.
Yeah, so lots of good racing this weekend. And I guess by the time everybody's listening to this, if you're listening in the afternoon, we'll know the awards results. I think they're 1 p.m. Eastern Thursday. Listen, I'm like you and I have said, I'm not expecting to win versus those big.
I demand a recount already. Just kidding. I'm not going to. This is just like this cliche thing nowadays is to say that the election was rigged. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if you guys want to post memes like that, we do support you posting the memes.
Not in an angry way. If you're doing it as a joke, yes, then it's funny.
Please make it fun. We'd like to be nominated again next year because this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, don't encourage like people to
troll, but troll nicely. That is specifically directed at like McCoy and other friends of the show that like we know enjoy a good troll.
Oh yeah, he's not a vicious troll. He likes to send those nonsensical memes, which are entertaining for everyone.
I'll see him in. So I'm covering my first NASCAR race at the end of the month, so I will see him down there.
I am not jealous of the track that you are going to because I've been there and it was one of the worst experiences.
It's so loud.
It was so it was like it was kind of unbearably loud, and I didn't really like even the area. I wasn't impressed by it, but I'm excited to cover a NASCAR race with you in the future just to see what that's like to be on the other side of it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued enough. I don't really know what I'm getting myself into, but some friends, you know, between Ashley Keller, who, you know, works on the IndyCar side, and a couple other friends, we at least have some resources to go to be like, I don't understand what's going on right now, and they can help us. So,
yes.
All right. When are Long Beach times? And then we'll do predictions. No lineup changes, obviously no Ed Carpenter, so we're back to 27 cars. Yep, oval specialist Ed Carpenter. All right. Oh,
just and kidding. We love you, Ed.
Yeah, sure. And
we wish you a smorgasbord of success.
We wish you a cornucopia of Wittershins.
Yeah, you said cornucopia, so I had to throw something like that in.
We also learned this week that the April open test for the 500 will be streamed on Peacock. So you guys can stop complaining that things aren't being streamed because they're now being streamed. So when is racing activity this weekend?
Oh, don't forget, F1 signed a massive deal with Paramount Plus that we don't understand whatsoever.
Yep, couldn't care less. Streaming. Yep.
Getting to the times that are more important. IndyCar practice 1. I guess, are these local times? Yes, practice... I am on the Acura Grand Prix website, so I assume these are West Coast local times. So it is from West Coast. Wow, so it's 6 p.m. to 7:15 p.m.
That's Eastern time.
Yeah, Eastern time. I was giving Eastern.
Okay.
Was,
yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. I was doing my little calculation of plus three. Yeah. Okay. So that's on Friday. Obviously, that's the first practice. There's nothing else. There's IMSA stuff, but I guess we don't need to list all those times. Practice two is at 11:45 a.m. to 12:45 on Saturday, followed by qualifying at 3:05 p.m. And then the race on Sunday is at noon. No, that's warm-up. That's
warm-ups. The race is the race? 3. The race is 3 p.m. Eastern.
Wow. Okay.
Which
pre-race
means...
says, oh, yeah, the pre-race says 2:45.
Yeah.
Drivers, start your engines at 3:35.
Yep, there's probably a half hour of lead in.
Okay. Yeah, that's later than usual, right?
Not for Long Beach. It's been the same the last couple of years.
Hmm.
I mean, it's later because it's West Coast. That's the only difference.
Oh, yeah, okay. For some reason, I felt like they started the race earlier in the past.
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think it was too far off. I think a couple years ago, it was like 4:30 p.m. or something.
When is the NASCAR race this weekend? Does that compete?
I don't know.
I thought you said you were covering NASCAR now.
It's the end of the month. I'm not covering
it. I'm trolling you. Okay, let's see when the race is. Yep, it is at Martinsville at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So it's going to directly compete.
So it might rain in Martinsville. And I know NASCAR has that like short track rain oval package now. So I will actually tune in to NASCAR before Green Flag IndyCar. So, you know, if that's the case, I don't know if I'll probably watch it till Green Flag IndyCar anyway, because I don't do pre-race coverage or I don't watch pre-race coverage. So
me neither. I know where that's like sacrilege to some people, but definitely don't do that.
Anyway, so let's do predictions. Who's having a good weekend?
Okay, I need to pull up the field, but I'm just going to guess somebody who's good on street courses. Who's going to be strong at Long Beach? I feel like there are people who are always strong at Long Beach. You know what? I think Marcus Ericsson is on a roll, and he lost out last year at Long Beach, so he's going to redeem himself.
Okay, fair. I'm going Alex Rossi. I think he's going to tell his old team, my street course success wasn't just limited to Andretti. So who's having a bad weekend?
Okay, so you said Rossi is having a good weekend. Having a bad weekend. That's always tougher to figure out an IndyCar these days. The field is so stacked. And I feel like some teams have gotten stronger while others actually, unfortunately, have gotten worse. So you know what? I'm going to go with some of the low-hanging fruit, I guess. And I feel so mean. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm going to say Christian Lundgaard has a bad weekend, and not because of him, just because I have no idea where Ray Hall is at right now.
Okay. All right. I will say that Will Power is going to have another poor weekend. And all right, let's see here. Let's come up with two more predictions. Okay. First up, you know, as a street course, you know, probably is going to be less chaotic than St. Pete, since we're a couple races into the year at this point. But what percentage of laps will be run under yellow this weekend?
I need to get a perspective of how many laps we have. So how long is the race? Do you know?
I have no idea. You would think, like, as somebody who's, you know, we've 85 laps.
Okay, 85 laps. So 50% of that would be what, like 42 laps?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that we run like 22 laps under caution.
Okay. So about a quarter of the laps under yellow.
Yep.
I'm going to say we're only going to run about 7 or 8 laps under yellow this year. So about 10%.
Okay. That'd be nice.
And lastly, will we have a first-time pole sitter?
Who, like, first-time pole sitter ever in the series, or first time at Long Beach?
Okay, yeah, ever. I don't care about Long Beach in particular.
Okay, let me think of who has not had a poll and if they could do it. No, I don't think we're going to see anyone new get a poll.
I agree with you, but for the sake of disagreeing with you, I will say that yes, we're going to see a first-time poll sitter, maybe co-host Mr. Malukas.
Oh, he's the only one I could see, but that's a good one.
Has Jack Harvey ever gotten a pole position, like back when he was with Meyer Shank?
I'm gonna pull that up. For some reason, I
I
feel
don't
like
think
he
so.
has one pole position. No, he does not.
Yeah.
He has one podium, and I was thinking of
Yeah.
that race that he had at IMS that was really good in
Right.
2019 with Shank.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought he was on pole, but I guess not. Wow. His last top 10 was Nashville last year.
And it was a 10th, right? Or a
Yeah.
9th.
Yeah.
But go back before that. When was his last top 10 other than that one?
Oh, well, then it was with Shank. Like, he didn't have any, he hasn't had, he's
Yeah.
won top 10 his entire time with Ray Hall. But with Shank, he had one, two, three,
But when
four.
was his last one with Schenck?
Oh, it was the last race of the season, Long Beach. It
Okay.
was
Okay.
seventh. But I'm going to count how many he got with Shank because it's a lot at top tens. I mean, look, there's a lot of like seventh, eighth places in there. But I think they'd be pretty happy with that right now.
Yeah, I would. I would for Jack too.
I'm seeing 15 total top tens over a period of 3 years with Shank. So like that's the part where he was mostly full time, is
Yeah.
what I'm looking at counting, where he did most of the races.
Alrighty. Well. We'll wrap it there. Everybody, thank you for listening. Play a fantasy IndyCar on the IndyCar website or the IndyCar app. There's the Pit Lane Parlay 2023 League. Feel free to join that if you're at the
Sarah,
track. Yeah, Sarah, you're at like three
who doesn't
races,
listen to
right?
this?
Yeah, I mean, Sarah, if you listen to this, what the hell? I hope you have a cornucopia of excuses ready for when we grill you about it next time, maybe next week when you're on,
Us back some
and
cravats.
bring us back some cravats. Toodaloo.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.